Last week we talked specifically about discipleship and being followers of Christ. We'll come at it from a little different angle this morning as you turn to Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. This is the record of Jesus meeting Peter and Andrew, James and John. We'll read that. Matthew 4, we'll begin at verse 18. A healthy church is a church of disciples. And this is the beginning. Verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now this is early in the ministry of our Lord. Born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth to the north in the hill country, and then he's tempted in the wilderness. He's baptized in the River Jordan, not the same for the same reason we are baptized. His baptism has nothing to do with sin. It just marks the entrance of his public ministry. And so he travels north, up by the Sea of Galilee. And I want to encourage you just every so often to look in the back of your Bible and be acquainted a little bit with the geography of Israel. And know where Galilee is, where the Jordan River is, and where Jerusalem is. So he's up in the north country by the Sea of Galilee, which has some terrific storms called Euroclydon, because the winds come down off of Mount Hermon. And so as he's walking by the sea, he saw these two brothers, Peter and Andrew, and they were fishing with their nets. And he stopped and said to them, "Follow me." Strange, isn't it? I don't know how much they would have heard about him up to this point, but they probably have had news about the birth and something of his life. Anyway, there was something about that call, "Follow me," that caused them to respond immediately. Now, this is awesome. Verse 20, they immediately left their nets and followed him. This is a call. These men will be his disciples. And he travels a little further, and there's James and John with Zebedee, the father. And he's in the boat with them, and he calls them. And immediately they left the boat, the nets, and their father, and followed him. So they had to get rid of the old man. Now that's a spiritual thing. See, we're told to get rid of the old man also. So let's look at this passage carefully and see how this affects our lives this morning. This is the Word of God. It's the Word of God to us, predestined for us this morning in our lives. So we need to pay careful attention and be prepared to respond. Now, first of all, there is this call which requires a caller. And the caller, the one who calls, is our Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. God Himself is standing there in human form, speaking with a human voice, and calls these fishermen. This is their career. This is their livelihood. And I couldn't prove this, but I assume that there were many, many fishermen there on the Sea of Galilee, large sea. Many fishermen. He selects two. This is the doctrine of election. It was his right and by his authority that he came to Peter and John. And he brings forth this call, follow me. Now, the call of Christ is never a simple, polite invitation. He's not pleading with people, oh, please come. He's commanding, follow me. The call is with authority. And as this Word of God confronts us this morning, it's not an option. This is authoritative for you and me this morning to respond to the call to follow Him. He goes on and he sees James and John. And it is his by his selection, by his election, that he calls them with authority. They leave their career. They leave their livelihood. And they leave the place of their home and they travel with him. They go with him. So there is a caller. And then there is this call, follow me. Which is, as Jesus talks to people, he says this more frequently and more often than any other thing. To Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. To the woman at the well, he says, I'll give you living water. But he said, follow me. To Philip and these people. What did he mean by that? He meant, join me. Join my cause. Go with me. Be with me. Some 40 times we find this word in the New Testament, to follow. To follow him for salvation, to follow him for service, for life purpose. Follow me, to join me, to serve me. That's the call to us this morning. And then he elaborated on the call, verse 19. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, isn't that interesting? How he used that setting and spoke to them in language they would understand about what's going to happen. You've been fishermen. You're experts. You know. You know where to find the fish. You know the right bait. You know how to be patient. You know how to land them. Now, you're not going to catch fish out of the lake, you're going to catch men. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He says, I will fashion your life. I will mold you. You need to become fishers of men. That'll be a process. It is a process because he's going to make them into disciples, and the Lord will cause them. I will cause you to become fishers of men. And so as we face the call of God this morning, and he says, I will make you to become what I have in mind for you, we rely on his power and his ability to do that. There is no way it could take these men, fishermen, and cause them to be the founders of the church. They can't do that on their own. He's going to do it. And what he has in mind for us, we can trust him to do that. I will cause you. I will make you. I will fashion you. I will mold you to become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. And may we, by the grace of God, and by hearing the call this morning in our inward self, respond as these men and not hold back. Now, we need to look at another passage of Scripture which corresponds with this. It's Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Another thing about the call. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Be sure we look at this. The call of Christ again. And he's speaking here to the people, the disciples. Verse 23 of Luke 9. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, that is to follow, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Here's the call. If any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, when there's a call, there has to be a response. And we're all going to respond in some way this morning. So what are the possibilities? Well, we could ignore it. We could pass it by and say, oh, it was for that day. It's just cultural. Or we could say, later. I'm not ready to go all the way. I like being a Christian and the thought of going to heaven, but to go to another level of commitment to be a disciple, well, I have other things to do. We could look at this call and say, well, I'll do it my way, my time, but I'm not going to turn my life over to him. Well, think about the response this morning. Let's not just be, quote, Christian. Let's be disciples. Let's have a healthy church. Not just with numbers, but with disciples. So let's answer the call this morning. Luke 9:23. to follow him, and then he explains what that looks like. He says, if anybody wants to follow me, let him deny himself. Turn from self. Turn away from yourself. And we'll use a word we used last week. It's radical, man. This is big time here. Turn from your plans. Well, this is how I want my life to be. Don't forget it. These are my desires. Give them up. This is my will. Give it up. Deny self. The biggest problem in this world is self. And the biggest fish is selfish. Turn from self, your plans, your desires, your will, and cast yourself upon him and his will and his desires and his plans. This is what Peter and Andrew, James and John did. They had to turn from their own plans and desires and their own will and follow him. Secondly, he said you have to take up your cross. Now, what would that mean? It doesn't mean that we are physically crucified, although in some way that happened to all the 12 of his disciples. They were martyred in one way or another. Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down. John was boiled in oil. All of them did eventually, but what he's talking about is their life now. How do we take up our cross this morning? Well, what does the cross, what does that signify or speak about? It speaks about sacrifice. To take up our cross this morning means a life of sacrifice. And that is visibly displayed and becomes real as we give ourselves to others. Let me ask you, have you sacrificed anything lately? Have you given till it hurts? Have you given where it puts yourself in jeopardy a little bit? Or do you give off the top where it's easy? I'll give you my time when it's convenient. I'll help provide for you after I've really taken care of myself. Sacrificial giving is taking up the cross. Sacrificial love is biblical love and spiritual love. So if we want to get real about this call, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. I'll make you my disciples. We turn from self. We take up the cross this morning and give our life to each other and those around us. Now, if we're going to turn our life over to him to become followers, it means turn from self, take up the cross, and trust him. Jesus Christ knew what he was going to do with Peter and John. Peter and Andrew, James and John, and all the others. Now, the first thing he's going to do is lead them. He is a leader. And all we do is follow. And if we say this morning, Lord, I will follow you, we have to trust where he's going to lead us. So the question in our minds is he trustworthy? Can I turn my life over to him? Would I be safe and secure? Can I trust him? That's almost like marriage, especially for the girl. Can I trust him to lead my life? Then I have to trust him to form and fashion and mold my life. Like the potter and the clay. And he will take me as I am and work on me to make myself like him. To conform us to his image. So he works on all the things that are unlovely and not right, mainly our pride. So that we will be usable. We trust him to use us. We trust him in our service. This is the call. This is the way to answer. Follow him by turning from self, by taking the cross, and by trusting him to lead and mold our lives, and we become fishers of men. The primary fishermen in life are parents. They will cause us to do that. Now, one more thing about answering the call. It means becoming a student. If you're going to follow someone, you learn from them. You learn and grow. Now, in terms of discipling, I'm sure we all have some notion of what that looks like. And there's a formal thought, like many groups have, of parachurch groups like Navigators and Campus Crusade and others have a plan for that. How did Jesus do this? He said, follow me. And as he traveled around, up and down, around Galilee, they went with him and they learned by example. His example. How do we disciple? Mainly by our example. Parents disciple children and young people mainly by example. We use the word model. We model what a disciple is, looks like. Now you follow the life of the Apostle Paul, his journeys. And as Luke writes about him, and he writes his own letters, he's always talking about people with him. And in the closing chapter of Romans chapter 16, he mentions about 20 people associated with him in ministry. And when he went somewhere, he took people with him. That's discipling, taking people with us in our spiritual journey. So it's his example, and it's his training. He's instructing them. He's teaching them. And his training is the best seminary in the world. You may not have opportunity for formal training in a Bible college or a seminary, but you can get it right here in the Gospels and in the two New Testament letters, and it'll be better than any seminary you could ever attend. Well, if you're going to become a student of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to crack the Bible. A healthy church is a church of open Bibles. Dust it off, get it out, get into it deeply, and learn to hear the Word of God. A disciple must be exposed to the truth of the Word of God, and we do that by hearing. There is a physical hearing. Anybody, we could call people off the street this morning. They could sit here, they could hear the words physically. But they won't hear them spiritually unless the Holy Spirit puts that word deeply into their hearts. Now, we need to be aware of that, and it should cause us to pray diligently, Lord, help me to hear your word in my inner spirit, to respond spiritually to the truth. We hear. We read. We must read the word of God personally. We study, become a student. What shall a man profit if he gains the whole world? What does it profit if you know everything about some science, or sports, or music, and neglect spiritual truth? It's nothing. It's a waste. We memorize. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And we meditate. We're thinking about God's truth in our life. This is the answer to the call. And individually, we answer that call, and as a church, we must answer the call. If there was ever a time in history when the nation needed disciples, and when the nation needed a church of disciples, it's today. Now. Now is the time. And answer the call. He said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets. Now it's an interesting thing, if you want to pursue it this afternoon, to read that passage again and think through the alibis or the excuses these men could have made. Jesus spoke to one man, and the man said, well, I'll follow, but I first have to go home and bury my father. What did he mean by that? He meant, I'm not going to follow you until my father dies. There are three excuses here. Alibis. We need to be careful this morning to follow the response of Peter and Andrew, James and John. Heard it, immediately followed. Do you want to be a disciple? Or do you want to just be a nice little Christian and get along with everybody and just serve yourself? And I have to answer that, and I want to this morning to respond as Peter and Andrew, James and John, to follow him, to deny self, take up the cross with the life of giving, and trust him to lead. Let's bow for prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your wonderful plan that at the perfect time in history, our Lord Jesus Christ walked the shores of Galilee and selected disciples upon whom he would found his church. And we thank you that these men, though probably somewhat uneducated, not considered successful in the eyes of the world, and yet you formed them and fashioned them and molded them into witnesses for the gospel. And we thank you this morning that you are still calling, and your word calls us today, and we ask that you will cause us to respond this morning with an answer to your call. And may it be to the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.